Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and it's great to see you all and those online at home. And Father, we ask, Lord, as we preach your word, that you would infuse us, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us from our head to our hearts, to our lives going out there. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to see visitors here again and more people coming back. And well done. And I believe, again, if you missed last week, we started a new series, and it is a prophetic picture of what we are talking about and what we trust to preach into the future. So we are going to do our series, continue with our series, Arise and Build. And the book of Nehemiah is where we're going to spend most of the time, particularly from today till the end in chapter 3. But Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Much of what we've been talking about this morning and etc., etc. How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that has been upon me for good and also of the words that the king has spoken to me. And they said, that's a beautiful statement, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. And so last week we started this series and we talked about Nehemiah the builder, be like Nehemiah. And so we want to all be like Nehemiah and build. And some of the characteristics that we looked at him, for him that accomplished this task that he was set to in rebuilding the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And we have to understand, just as we're going ahead, walls and gates are very vital and important to cities. The walls are there to keep everybody out, and the gates are there to let people in. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the different gates. You're just ahead of me a little bit there, bud. And so we need to understand that there is the natural gate we're going to talk about. There's also the personal spiritual gate aligned with that, and then the prophetic picture of that gate. And we're going to try and deal with those three aspects of all the gates as we go through the weeks. And we need, and the undertoning thing of everything that underpins us is, and next to him, and next to him, and next to him. And so let us together arise and build. So you already probably read ahead of me now, and you see all the gates. And so there's 10 of them. And today we're going to look at the sheep gate, because that's the first gate. And so that's part two, the sheep gate. So just have the other diagram up, and we just give you a little bit of picture of what the old walled city looked like and where we're starting with the sheep gate. And you'll see up on the right, just to give you some context, is Gethsemane. And then there's a little pool just inside the sheep gate. And that's a very interesting picture that we will see. So the first thing we're going to look at is the sheep gate. And what is that naturally? What was the sheep gate meant for in Nehemiah's time? And it is the first gate that we come to. But if you read in Nehemiah chapter 2, you will see that he went and he inspected with him some of his cohorts. They inspected the valley gate, the dung gate, and the fountain gate. And he looked at the walls, and they went at night and they had a look. But he didn't tell anyone what was really he's going to do, but a plan and a strategy was formulating. And it's a great lesson for us to see the order of the mention of the gates. And the sheep gate, and what it means to us, and why we start at the sheep gate. So number one, it was called the sheep gate because this was the gate through which the sheep came. Duh, not hard, eh? Not hard to understand. But the point is that when the sheep came through, when the shepherds brought the sheep in, then the point of using the sheep gate was to bring them into the marketplace, into the place where they were going to be sold for the various sacrifices that were going to take place over that period of time, whatever it was. They came and they brought them in there. But the interesting part, let's just have the picture of the next diagram up. The extra interesting thing, you'll see a little picture of the sheep gate, and then below there's this ornate thing called the Pool of Bethesda. Now, if you know your New Testament, you know what happened at the Pool of Bethesda. But let's just, don't rush 500 years ahead of me, just stay with me, okay? And what happened is the sheep would come in, and before they could go to the market, they were going washed and dipped in the pool of Bethesda. And they were cleaned of any parasites or bugs or anything that was dirty. So they had to be spotless and clean before they went to be examined by the high priest and to say, yeah, this one's good. No, that one's got some defects. We can't have that one. And they would go and be examined, and then they could go to the market and be sold for the sacrifices that they were going to take place at the time or hold in. So it's a very interesting thing, the sheep gate. However, let's just, and you've heard me say this before if you've heard me preach a bit, is let's join the dots between Old Testament and New Testament and how that happens. So we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. I've said before, if you're going to have a baby, go and read Nehemiah chapter 3. There's a whole bunch of wonderful names in there if you're confused or not. So here's the point that Eliashib, the high priest, he leads the way. And I'll give a word to anybody in leadership, especially those leading in the church. We lead by example and lifestyle. And people are watching and seeing how it is done. We're out in front saying, this is the way we should go. This is how it is because the Lord has spoken, not because we have great ideas, but it's God's way. And we want to follow God and the prophetic voice that He's speaking to us and saying to us and listen to Holy Spirit. And He's saying, and you go and you'll see the rest of the chapter is filled with 50 other people or so following their example and what they did. And they all stood next to Him and next to Him as we read in the Scripture. Another interesting thing is, Susan, they consecrated the gate. Whatever we do for God, whatever our task we are doing, we should consecrate that to God. And we do it because He is a good Father, and we are consecrated to Him. And it's significant that we do everything for the sake of our Father and for His glory. And that the high priest and the fellowship, or if you could say the pastors, the elders, they led this thing, and they built the sheep gate. And there are a number of things we can look at. So what is the significance of the sheep gate? The sheep gate, in the natural for us and in the spiritual, is the first gate that we come to in our Christianity or in our Christian walk. The sheep gate leads us to the cross and the sacrifice that was made for our sins. It is the starting point and the ending point. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's because it starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus, nothing but Jesus and the sacrifice that He made on the cross. The gate represents the Son of God descending from glory to come and be incarnate as man and live amongst us, the Lamb of God, Scripture tells us, who takes away the sin of the world. Are you starting to see the picture of the sheep coming in, cleansed, checked out by the priest, ready for sacrifice? And we see that Jesus was the same. He is the one and only true sacrifice who enters through the sheep gate, and He becomes the sheep gate. He is taken and inspected by the high priest before they crucify Him. He is taken and He is beaten. And we have a look at three of these gates, what they represent for us. Number one, He is the gate of sacrifice. Isaiah 53:6. We're going to do a lot of scripture today, so if you want, write them down and read them afterwards. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking about Jesus, the prophetic voice of Isaiah, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then John 10:11 says, Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 18:12, so the band of soldiers and their captains and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas. For he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. So the similar to the sheep coming in, taken and examined to see if he was perfect. Here we have Jesus taken, and we know he went to various authority leaders to be examined and asked who he was, etc., etc. And we understand Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is taken by the soldiers through the sheep gate. You can go and read the account. And is taken to Annas the high priest to be inspected, to be checked over. Romans 12:1 is our part. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. For those who are joining us today and listening for the first time perhaps, our heart is worship is not singing songs. Worship is a lifestyle. It's everything we do and we say for the kingdom. The second gate this represents is the gate of salvation. Many people are seeking Christ and looking for Christ. However, they continually end up at the wrong gate. They end up at the gate of self-help or the gate of make me feel good or the gate of self-sufficiency or sometimes the gate of self-defense. I want to defend everything or the gate of my independence. Yeah, they want to be a little bit like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Well, as Christians, we don't do it my way. We do it his way. And we follow him because, and I've got it somewhere here, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. John 10:7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly. In the King James, we'll say truly, 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 which means this is emphatic truth. Listen, pay attention. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That we can come in a relaxed mode. We can come into the great shepherd. We can come in through his gate because he is the gate of sacrifice. He is the gate of salvation. And we can go out and we can liberty and freedom. As someone prayed this morning, where the Spirit is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And that's what we want to live in. But what I love so much about this sheep gate, and you can read, if you read the rest, you'll see this one, unlike the other gates, this one is not bolted. This sheep this gate hasn't got bolts and bars in it. This gate seemingly was open and unlocked and unbolted and unbarred. It was a gate of freedom through the Good Shepherd. The way to God is open. It's unblocked, it's unlocked, it's unbolted, it's unbarred. It's an open invitation for us. As Jesus is the beginning and the end, as I've said, the Alpha and the Omega. In the same way, if we read through Nehemiah, we will see that when we get to the end of the chapter, verse 32 of chapter 3, it says, and between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchant repaired. Well, what does that mean? It means we have come full circle. If you saw that diagram, you'll see we come all the way around and we come back to the sheep gate, back to Jesus. It hinges and depends, excuse the pun, on Jesus when we come to him as the shepherd of the sheep gate. And thirdly, it is the gate of mercy. It is the gate of sacrifice, it is the gate of salvation, and it is also the gate of mercy. John 5:1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And we know the whole story. It goes on. The paralytic had been there for 38 years waiting for the waters to be stirred. And when we come to Jesus, we come to his throne of grace and his throne of mercy. And the Bethesda pool, which means the house of mercy. And if you remember, 500 years before, the sheep had come there to this place of mercy where they would be cleansed and washed. And in the Hebrew, it would be called the mikvah, where you would come and get cleansed and go through the waters. The same pool where the sheep would come originally, and after that would go to the high priest, and they'd come to the pool of mercy, where the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed lay waiting for the angel. The man there, as we know, is not looking for Jesus, but Jesus came looking for him. You know, I've said this before many years ago when I was in Sunday school anyway. We used to sing this song, I found Jesus. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. He came looking for us. He came seeking for us. He is always there for us. And we came to restore and to health. He sent his son to restore us to relationship with the Father, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring us to health, to restore us, to rebuild us, and the sheep gate of our lives. Now we know, thank you, the sheep gate is the gate of sacrifice, salvation, and mercy. But we have to understand that Jesus is the sheep gate. In the natural, in the spiritual, and prophetically, in John 14:16, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And Acts 4:11 says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We can only come to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And fourthly, the prophetic voice of the sheep gate. What does that mean? The sheep gate of Nehemiah points to the first coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We need a full revelation that he is the gate of sacrifice, he is the gate of salvation, and he is the gate of mercy. The Old Testament is full of scripture. You can go and Google it if you like, and you'll see that the Old Testament speaks numerous times on the coming Messiah, the one who would come and set his people free. As we read earlier on, John 1:29, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And off this backdrop of understanding the sheep gate, in the natural and in the spiritual, we understand that we are all sheepies. We are all sheep. Some have gone astray and have come back into the fold. Some are still astray. How do we know that? Well, Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Important. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. A great draw on the analogies of the Old Testament. They understood this very well. Us in our modern day cities probably don't get it as well, but those in the farming, sheep herding community understood this very well. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, send out laborers into the harvest. We only have to look at the news. We only have to listen to drive ourselves berserk by listening to all the negatives and the positives. I guess there are some on COVID and the pandemic and the newspapers and the media and your neighbors and friends and family to know that Scripture is as applicable then as it is today, 2,000 years later. And we listen, observe people's lives. I remember when we first came to Canada in 2005, you never read, hardly ever, about stabbings and shootings and hijackings and hit and runs. And man, it's just every news item is that today. The world is getting more hopeless, more harassed, more without hope and degradation. But for our sheep gate, for our sheep, for our hearts, the walls of our lives to be restored, well, we must come to the revelation that we are his sheep. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise. If you think we're going to get to heaven, it's going to be all quiet. Shock state for you. All earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. No, that doesn't apply to me. It does, I'm afraid. And if you don't like to be called a sheepy, I'm sorry, we're all sheep. I'm a sheep, we're all sheep. The pastors are all sheep too. And so we look to Jesus, our great shepherd, our good shepherd, our merciful shepherd. And why? Because we have value to him. Everyone is valuable. He died for us to lead us and guide us and protect us. He takes me, the psalmist writes, he takes me to green pastures. He feeds my soul. He feeds me. He leads me beside quiet waters, life-giving, refreshing waters that he comes to us. When we come and we're in a state, and I think Swapna prayed about anxiousness and anxiety, when we come to it, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my securities are in Jesus Christ, my great shepherd. We need to have our insecurities dealt with. We need to have, when the lion and the bear comes, and we go, yeah, it's okay, I got the top shepherd. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Jesus is not only the great shepherd, he is the great advocate. He sits next to the Father and he intercedes for us daily. And he is a lawyer, an advocate that has never ever lost a court case. And he's my advocate and he's your advocate. And that is should make us feel awesome. However, to be restored, and that's part of what we're talking about, arise and build, to restore our sheep gate, to our heart, issues and stuff in our heart, we have to understand that when we come as the sheep, that we carry no infections and diseases with us. As the sheep, we're brought in to be washed in the pool of Bethesda and inspected by the high priest. We want to make sure that we have been inspected and that we carry no diseases and no offenses, if I could put it that way. And we come and we're healed like the man at the pool. And we're inspected. And so, in closing, what sheep diseases may befall us? Don't dial out on me on this one. Number one, scab disease. Oh, that sounds terrible, yeah? Sheep get scab disease. You know how they get it? They get scab disease from butting heads. It forms sores on their heads and parasites get in and they start to eat away at their little flesh and then it destroys the wool and damages the quality of the wool. We can also get scab disease when we butt heads with one another, when we have friction between us, when we gossip about one another, when we are sinful and disobedient. Matthew 5:23. Says, so if you're offering a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You know that the horizontal relationship is as important as the vertical. It's okay, it's just me and Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you. No. If you let me read on, and of course these aren't my ideas, because they challenge me to. Matthew 5:15-18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Don't go and tell 50 other people, go and tell your brother. Between you and him alone, if he listens, you have gained your brother. It goes on, it says, if he won't listen, take somebody else with you, etc., etc. Both these relationships are so vitally important to the Father. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say. Now, I'm just preaching this because I know this doesn't affect anybody here, but I just thought I should throw it in there. 1 John 2:9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. No, it's just me and Jesus. The rest of you, I don't care for. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We are children of salt and light, and we need to have clear eyes, clear vision, clear window to the healthy soul that we want to restore. The point is we can't say we love God, we walk in the light, and still have issues and hate against our brothers and sisters. Thank you. If we can't get on with our brothers, let alone our family, how are we going to do this? The second disease, and I know it's getting very quiet in here, you should by now be going, oh, yes, this is right. White muscle disease. Sheep get white muscle disease from lack of vitamins. Your word, vitamins, so we know what we're talking about. Okay? When they don't get the right vitamins in their diet. So what are our vitamins? Our vitamins are kingdom vitamins. I have difficulty saying vitamins. We get them from the Word of God. We get them from discipline. We get them from regular fellowship like we're doing right now, and prayer. Not being legalistic about it, not being to the letter of the law about it, but a heart to see us all grow strong and healthy and full of vitality and counting for the kingdom of God. I love the eclectic variances of cultures that we have here. And we have people from just about every, I mean, I'm talking about people born outside of Canada and have God has brought here. And I always am so thankful and grateful for it. And it's often to me a small picture of what heaven's going to look like. With every voice and every sound and every national, every ethnic group, every cultural diversity. The problem is, though, we cannot allow our culture to overrule kingdom culture. It always has to be kingdom culture first and then our culture. And so I can say this because I was born in another country with a very different culture, but I have to learn and let kingdom overrule that. You know, you've heard me say that some philosophy is good philosophy, but some philosophy is not good Bible. So we have to learn to differentiate between the two. And sometimes our differences will be our cultural background. And we've got to overrule that by kingdom. Sometimes it's what you might have learned somewhere else, where you might have been somewhere else and learned something else. And sometimes, sadly to say, you're just the obstacle in the way. And we got to get over ourselves. You know, the Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Be sober-minded about who you are and your gifting and all that kind of stuff. Isaiah 57:14 says, and it shall be said, build up, be build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from our people's way. And so we have to look and say, what is kingdom culture that is clashing with me and I need to change to that? Acts 2:42. If you don't know what I mean by this, and they devoted themselves. They didn't do it sort of half-heartedly. They didn't do it sort of, well, when we feel like it, when it's convenient. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking bread, and the prayer. And this verse, these vitamins in this verse are so powerful. Yeah, they were as powerful as it was in 445 BC when Nehemiah went back to what it is 2,000 years later. It's imperative that we learn these lessons to restore and rebuild up so we can arise and build and be part of playing and restoring our sheep gate. Nearly done. Third one is called foot rot disease. Mark, you're really laying it on today. Foot rot is a bacteria caused in sheep when they spend too much time in lush green grass. We don't want to hang around. No, no, when it gets too lush and too muddy, then they can end up with foot rot. And this, unfortunately, happens when people hop from meeting to meeting, from conference to conference, church to church, always looking for the blessing. Now, if God is, if you're visiting today, if God has led you here, wonderful, praise God. I just want the professing, the blessing. I just want the ministry. I just want the prophetic word that never, ever seems to come. Then you have become the eternal baby Christian because we're looking for the entertainment value of what Christ is calling into us. Someday, one day you realize, I got foot rot. How do I fix this? Well, it's because you never stick around long enough to go through some dry seasons. I know I'm smiling while I'm saying this because, you know, if I ask you to put up your hand today, who's been through a dry season recently? I think we're all going to put our hands up. And we want to understand that God works in seasons. He works in summer, winter, spring, fall. He brings in. And if you're in a dry season, if you're in a winter season now, get with someone who's in summer season. Let them pray with you. Let them bring some warmth and joy into your life. If in winter, get through the dry. Sometimes it's not raining. There's no rain in my season. You've heard us say before, and I hope I get this right, from the mountain of promise to the mountain of purpose, you have to walk through the valley of preparation. And sometimes the valley of preparation is in the dry season. It is when things, oh, God seems so far from me. He's not listening to me. He is. We sang this morning. He's working when we don't even know when he's working. except that we're running by emotions and we're feeling like, oh, this is terrible, this is not good. But it's in those seasons that we will grow and we will mature and we will be able to turn around and help somebody else through that season. We have to take all of our lives, our careers, our family, our marriages, our finances, and we take it all together and we put it and say, this is it in the kingdom. It's all in the kingdom. We have to understand there is no partiality. There is no separation. There is no, this is mine and this is the kingdom. No, if you're a follower of Christ and you believe that He is your Lord and Savior, you're in the kingdom and everything belongs to God. Well, I have my rights. I know some of you are getting, we don't. I'm bought at a price. I belong to one. I worship before an audience of one. And so James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Persevere through the dry season. When you get into the hot season, persevere through that. When you get into the spring of the seasons, oh, this is wonderful. Fall looks like, well, it's all happening, falling around me. Just a little thing from my heart. I hate the fact that we're losing summer. I've enjoyed my summer so much. We have to understand that this is not my church. This is not the pastor's church. This is our body of believers together. This is our family, but it belongs to Jesus. He is the great shepherd. This is His. He is the head of the church. And I just want to, again, elders, pastors, deacons, leaders, when we minister and we love on the people, they do not belong to us. They still belong to Jesus. And so we lead with open hands that God can lead and guide them into everything. Amen. Last one. I told you. These are only a few. This one's called bloating disease. It follows directly after foot rot when sheep eat too much lush green grass. These are true facts about sheep, by the way. I didn't make this up. Their stomachs bloat, and sometimes the only way to heal them of bloating disease is to pierce the belly, to let all the gas out. I know that sounds rather harsh. No, I'm not going to pierce your bellies. I'll leave the Holy Spirit to do that. Luke writes to Theophilus, he says, of all that Jesus began to teach and to do, the church at large have become teaching centers. Come and get your Sunday fix. Come and get your groove on a Sunday, and then we go out and we forget about everything until we get back next Sunday. We have to learn that what the Scripture said to us, that we need to get out there and do and be the church, because we are the church. The church is not this building. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Our job is to make disciples of all nations. Romans 1:16, Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is not a private thing. Christianity, living for Christ, is not a private thing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I just want to say, if you're feeling bored and bloated, well, we need a deeper revelation of Jesus, the great shepherd. You need to take some of the food that you get in week by week, and you need to digest that food and then take it to your oikos, take it to your people around you and share the gospel, share the life of Christ with them. Take it to your world, wherever you touch. You go, well, that's your job. No, it's not. That's not what Scripture does. I know some of the people tell you that that's what Scripture says, but it's not. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and this is the work of the ministry. And so we go out, and of course, I'm part of that because I'm also a sheepie. I also go and share. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I also go and take what I digest and go and share it with my world that I touch. Our relationship with Jesus and others is what needs to be repaired and rebuilt. Our sheep, if your sheep gate is in disrepair and broken down, then the other gates have no real meaning or impact upon your lives. Because you will see as we progress through this series that each sheep gate has a particular interest and natural and spiritual connotation. But we have to understand that unless we start with the sheep gate, unless we come to salvation, the rest of them will mean very little to us. Why? Because we all have worth and valuable to King Jesus and to his church. And I encourage you today, inspect your walls and see what needs repair. Inspect your walls on the outside. Inspect them on the inside. Inspect your sheep gate. Have I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? If not, we would love to pray with you. We would love to lead you in a prayer that would bring Jesus, because he is the sheep gate. He is the gate of sacrifice. He is the gate of salvation. He is the gate of mercy. He is my gate. Jesus is my gate. Will you stand in the gap for others? Will you pray for people that God sends to us? You know, we still convincingly confirm that Jesus builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Will you stand in the gap and help build the walls and the gates for other fellow people? Amen, amen. Dom is going to come and lead us. Bless you.
Thanks, Mark. That was a great word. So what we're going to do now is there's a shortish video which has been recorded by the pastors in the Durham region who are part of this prayer fraternal prayer group, or pastors fraternal, I should say. And then following that, I will lead us in prayer. And if you have something on your heart for this region, specifically Durham region we're praying for, please feel free to come up and you can pray for us and with us. Otherwise, I will lead us through the various prayer points. Thanks, Dakota. Thanks, Peter.
I'm Kevin Armstrong, Senior Pastor of Forest Brook Community Church.
Hey, friends, it's Don Simons from Wesley Heights Baptist Church.
Hey, Jack Hanna, also from Wesley Heights Baptist Church.
My name is Anthony Nelson. I am the lead pastor of Faith 5 Restoration Center here in the Durham region.
Vic Stander here from City Gates Church.
Hello everyone, I'm Mario Caracciolo, the lead pastor at Southside Worship Center.
I'm Mark, and my wife Bridget Elwood. We lead the Bridge Church in Pickering.
My name is John Kirsch, and I am the pastor at Durham Christian Fellowship.
We welcome you today as we link arms, join forces, raise our shields together, and we pray for our city.
We at Forest Brook are pleased to stand with all of you on this day where we are calling the church to pray on behalf of the church and our region.
As a matter of fact, it is a link in a chain of prayer that began 25 years ago when a number of pastors from our area covenanted together to pray for revival in our churches here in the Ajax, Pickering, and Durham area.
And I have the privilege and the joy of being part of the prayer network here in our region.
As one of the pastors in the area, we are inviting you to join with us to pray for the Durham region.
Today, our church is joining your church and many other churches in this region in praying for revival and renewal in Durham.
We will be participating in our homes and at our church. We've set aside the whole day at our church for prayer.
We look forward to praying with and being a part of what God is doing in our region.
I'm glad that we can participate as a church, as a congregation, with other churches in the region and praying for renewal, revival in this area.
We want to see revival come to our city, renewal.
What that means is we want everybody to hear the gospel in our communities. We want their hearts to be moved by the good news of Jesus. And ultimately, we want their knees to bow to his lordship. We want to see many come to faith, many become disciples, followers of Jesus.
We want our region to be a place where it's hard to get to hell from.
We join you today in praying that God's will would be done and his kingdom would come in Durham region as it is in heaven.
Let's continue to seek the Lord in this and believe that he's got great things for all of us. And so be encouraged today as you pray.
There has never been a time like this in most of our lifetimes
And there's never been a better time to seek the Lord as individuals, as churches, and as a Christian community.
So, let the prayer continue until that revival comes, or until Jesus comes.
Bless you on behalf of our team and the pastors.
And have a wonderful day. God bless.
Thanks for your participation today, and God bless each one.
Amen. Amen. It's exciting, isn't it? It's just exciting when you know that you're bigger than what we are here. This is great. People online, this is great. We're together. We're family. We are the Church of God. But it's great to remind ourselves that the Church of God is bigger than what we are corporately here, that we partner with other churches in this region. We partner with other churches in Canada, outside of Canada, around the globe. But today, we're focusing on Durham. We're focusing on Ajax, Pickering, Whitby, Oshawa. We're focusing on the regions, the communities in which we live, where we go to school, and where we fellowship with one another, our neighbors, and the like. So I'm going to start in prayer, as I said. If there's anything that God's put on your heart or you've been praying through anyway in your own times and you want to share, you want to encourage us in your prayer, please feel free to come up. I will hold the microphone for you, and you can pray. But we're going to pray for revival and for renewal in our church, in the church in Durham region. So, Lord, thank you that you are Lord of all. Thank you that you are Lord of each and every church, believer, community in which we are in the Durham region, Lord. Thank you that you cover us by your love, Lord God. Thank you that, as we heard today, Lord, in our preach, that you paid a sacrifice that we couldn't pay. You made the sacrifice that we couldn't make so that we would be cleansed and made righteous before our Father in heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that the good news of what you have done for us, of the price that you paid for us, would bring revival in our communities, Lord. Father, we lift Durham region to you, Lord. We thank you that you have brought us here. I know some of us may think we came here because it was a good idea. It was a nice place to live. But you brought us here for a purpose. You brought us here for a time such as this. And so, Father, we partner with the church in Durham region, Lord God. We partner with believers in our communities, Lord. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand and lift the gospel of Christ up into our communities, Lord God. Father, as people return to what they once called normal, whether it's going back to work, whether it's going back to school, whatever it is, Lord, Father, I pray that we would be those who share the good news of the gospel at this time, that we would be those that put a loving arm around our neighbors, who may be struggling with anxiety, who may be struggling with fear, but your love, your perfect love overcomes. And so, Lord, we thank you that in you there is everything we need. Father, we pray your blessings on those other churches that we partner with in this time of prayer, Lord God. Father, bless them abundantly, Lord. Father, we're not crying out for everyone to come through our doors, Lord. We just want to be a welcoming home for people to come to. But Lord, we know that there are other churches in this region who are lifting the name of Jesus each and every day. And Lord, we pray that they too would be a welcoming home for anybody who is lost, for any sheep that is lost and needs to return to the flock, Lord. Father, for those prodigal sons and daughters, Lord. Father, we pray for revival and renewal in the life of our churches. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, that revival begins in your house, that revival begins with your church. So we would cry out this morning, and we would say, God, would you come afresh? Would you anoint us afresh? Would you stir your church with a fresh revelation of why we are here, that you would stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, we cry out that you would blow through your church, that you would ignite us to burn for Christ again, that the things of this world would lose their hold, and that Christ and Christ alone would be all that we would desire, that our hearts would see that eternity is in the balance, that people actually are going to go to hell, that they will be separated forever from Christ Jesus unless they come to know him. Father, that we would take the commission you have given us seriously, that we would know that we were created to live for you, not to enjoy this world and all it has, though that happens. But our purpose is to live for you, to shine for you, who to reveal who you are to every single person we meet. Would you come and stir your church afresh, that we would be who you've called us to be, that we would do what you've called us to do, that the lost would be saved, and that the glory of God would cover the earth as the water covers the sea. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, I thank you that you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that you will hear us and heal our land. So, Father, today as the churches across Durham gather to pray for renewal and revival, I thank you that you hear our cry, that you are stirring up and fanning into flame our passion for your name. And, Father, would we shine so brightly that Jesus would be seen so clearly in us and through us, that people would be drawn to your kingdom, Father, and we would truly see revival come in our time.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks. I just want to read this scripture from Acts 17:26, just to encourage us all that wherever we are, he knows where we live. He has a specific purpose for us to fulfill where we are. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. So, Father, we are so grateful to you for placing each one of us in the exact spot, yes, the exact street, yes, the exact set of apartments, wherever we live, in a basement, no matter where we are, that you know where we live. You gave us the key to that door, and you reside with us. So we say thank you, Father, that as you lead us into the plans and purposes that you have specifically made out for us, we agree with you, we participate with you, we partner with you in your kingdom, Lord, to bring revival to this area. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you've reminded us that we are all part of the body of Christ. And we thank you for this region. It's a big region of Durham, Lord. We thank you. We only saw a few churches, but there are hundreds of churches throughout Durham, Lord. And we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in every little town and village and city out there, Lord. We all have the same purpose, which is advancing the kingdom of God. And I pray for each and every one, Lord, that they would see the opportunities that they find, that they would see the harvest fields right outside their doors, right outside their offices, right outside their schools, wherever they happen to live, Lord Jesus, that we will see revival take place. We will see a renewal that takes place in each and every church as we represent Christ in the region of Durham. Amen.
Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scripture. And Lord, we read this morning that Jesus came and he had compassion upon those who are harassed and helpless. And Lord God, we pray that we would have the same compassion upon those that are harassed and helpless and hopeless. We bring those to you, Lord God, who don't know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we lift up your banner today and we declare, let Jesus arise in your hearts. Holy Spirit, would you speak to the hearts of people? Would you convict people of their sin, Lord God, that you would bring them into the sheepfold, as it were. Lord God, that you would make it clear and plain to those. Even as one of the pastors said, Lord, we want Durham to be a difficult place to go to hell from. And Lord God, we want to lift up your name today and declare that you are Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.